We're here. I'm here with Kristen.
Hello.
Another episode of the Tardy Cast. This is going to be great.
It is going
to
be great.
So parents, you know what to expect. We're obviously talking about sex this whole month, 4 weeks of it.
Yes. And we actually have a very, very special guest.
Yeah. Parents, you're going to love this. We spared no expense. You should see where we're sitting right now. The view we have of the ocean, where we flew to for this. I'm actually kidding. We're sitting in Jim Burns' office. He was gracious enough to make the time to talk to us about sex and teach us, and so we could teach you parents and leaders. Thanks for making the time, Jim.
It's great to be here. I actually thought you guys were going to talk about sex, and I was going to get to ask questions for you.
I actually feel like, I mean, I've been married for 5 years, okay?
Well, then and you're an expert. You know everything.
Yeah, I mean, you do the math 365 days a year. Do the math. I mean, I have two kids, right. So, I mean, right. I know some things. Yeah.
I know nothing, so yeah. I'm totally single. Know nothing about it.
Maybe ready to mingle. Maybe there's a parent out there who has a 20-something, 30-something son that they could just email.
Possibly.
Justin.
Who knows?
I'll leave my email in the notes, and maybe we can set something up.
I mean, Kristen is our junior high pastor at my church, and so we're going to be working on that.
Yeah. Even just this week, it's so funny. I ran into a parent at Costco. I got to stop going to Costco. You've been a youth pastor. You were a youth pastor for many, many years.
First youth pastor on the campus that you were working at.
Yeah, when it was South...
South Coast Community Church.
I got to stop going to Costco. I ran into a parent at Costco, and they asked me a lot of questions about why you had left and why I didn't keep you. They love you, by the way. They think you're great. Why didn't you keep Kristen? What is the deal? She's just so great. And they just had a lot of questions, very invasive, but they love
you.
Oh,
man.
Mission Viejo is so lucky to have you. So.
Thank you.
It's been good. So every week we do this, we have something for parents, we're talking about sex, and this week we're talking about, and this is such the hard one, right? How do you have the conversation? like your big air quotes when you're with the kids, like the conversation?
Oh, well, you know what? First of all, you don't have the conversation or a conversation. It's a dialogue. All studies show that one conversation with kids doesn't work. So you got to make it just more of a dialogue. And I think it's easiest when you're watching TV, you see something kind of weird and you go, hey, what do you think about that? So you're not personalizing it. But depending on the age, you begin to talk about certain issues. So you got to learn out what's the most important issues at certain ages, and then you have the conversation. And by the way, it's going to be awkward. Face that. It's going to be awkward.
I remember my story. Okay. Do people share their stories with you?
They tell me stories all the time.
So you've heard it all.
Yes. Yes. Believe me.
When I was 9 years old, maybe even younger than that, probably 8 years old. And this is back like 93, 92. I'm with my buddy Josh exploring the woods, and we find this kind of area where clearly high school kids hung out there. And there was all this stuff there, you know, cigarette butts, beer bottles, whatever. And then there's a stack of magazines. And, you know, some magazine. And then we found the next magazine, and it was like none of these people were in clothes in this magazine. And I'd never seen anything like that before. Right. And I took it home. I literally took it home to my mom, a single mom, and said, Mom, you won't believe what I found. Like, this is crazy. They're not wearing any clothes. And that was like the moment.
That was the moment. She probably panicked like crazy. But, you know, today... Now, that was pornography that you saw and didn't even realize it. But today, the average age a kid will see pornography, and I know we're going to talk about this in another session, is 11. So, you know, the world has changed. You saw it younger, but the truth is that everybody, I was doing a radio show back in my radio days where I asked Michael Landon Jr., who's, you know, his dad is a big time actor, and he's actually Jr. is a producer. And we were talking about this, that, you know, age 11 kids see naked, although it's not going to be in a magazine, it's going to be online now. Right. And he said, no, it's the death of innocence. So today's parents, even today's parents who are listening to this, or even leaders, our kids are living in they are not innocent. That doesn't mean that they're all bad, but they're not innocent. You were innocent, and beautifully, you actually trusted your mom. Most people wouldn't do that. So what you want to have, parents want to have those kind of conversations so that kids will actually feel comfortable. You've apparently felt comfortable showing your mom that picture and saying, look, you'll never believe what I saw. That's actually the answer to your question. You know, parents have to have enough conversations where the kids actually feel comfortable having that conversation.
Awesome. So how would you start that conversation? Mm-hmm. Say I'm a parent of a middle school student who mm-hmm. hasn't really had that much of a conversation about it because I'm scared or I don't know what to say.
Or I mean, how many people out there, they never had that conversation.
Right.
They're the
right.
parent who's like, well, no one ever did it for me. I don't know how to do it. Where do you even start?
Well, actually, that is the parent. I mean, most parents don't. They didn't have their parents tell them. All studies show that the more positive, value-centered sex education kids receive from home, the less promiscuous they'll be. Oh. At the same time, you know, I'll be in a room with 2,000 people. I'll say, how many of you received good, positive, healthy sex education from your parents? And four people will raise their hand. Wow. So again, I think we just jump in. Typically, I don't think we put the kids on edge. You know, have you seen pornography? You know, let's talk about, you know, sexual intercourse or something like this. You say, hey, what are kids talking about today at school? Maybe there's a music or there's something on television or movies or whatever. I mean, don't personalize it at the beginning, but let them see that actually you're open to have dialogue and conversation. So I don't think you have to jump in to the biggest worry detail at the first. I think you just have, you know, you have some kind of conversation. Some kids will do it well and some won't. When our kids were 11, Kathy took, we have all girls, so we have no hormones or drama in our life, of course. Right, Kristen? Kristen was a neighbor growing up. But, you know, Kathy took them away and Christy totally engaged with Kathy. Rebecca, who's now a Christian therapist, said, you know, this is totally inappropriate, Mom. I do not want you to talk about this, and wouldn't talk about it. And Heidi, like, hey, what do you want to know? My sister's already told me. You know, I mean, so each one looks at it differently. And Kathy started with a book, but I would say that was good. But at the same time, it wasn't as personal because, you know, I just am afraid of these parents who come in and go, so what have you done? Where are you going? You know, whatever. I just don't put them on the defensive right away.
Mm. So go ahead.
I think you're talking about normalizing the conversation and having it part of your normal life, basically,
exactly.
Because it is a normal thing that we just don't talk about.
Right, exactly. And Kristen, you were saying middle school, and, you know, that's great. And I'm thrilled that any parent would talk to their middle schoolers. But frankly, if they would have talked to him when they were two or three and said, God made your body and, you know, your body is good and he created every part of your body and, you know, you're not talking about sex, but you kind of are because your body is sexual. So in that process, then it becomes more normalized even earlier. But again, most parents haven't. So you just bring it up. I mean, you don't say to your middle schooler, hey, you know, God made your body and that is good and you're a boy and, you know, whatever. You don't have to do that. They know.
So I always try and stay one lesson ahead of, you know, stuff. So my kid's a 2-year-old and I feel like I talked to someone, maybe it was you, maybe it was someone else, maybe it was Fields, who knows, who they said when you're, even with your, I have a 2-year-old, that you just don't use like goofy names. Don't call it your winky or your private part. It's your penis. Yeah. When they're at bath and he's tugging at it and messing with it, like, oh, yeah, that's your penis. And your bathing suit area, when they get older, hey, the bathing suit area, that's like, you know, no one needs to see that. No one touches that. Only, you know, mom and dad will help you during bath time. But it's like you look for those just easy ways to talk about it.
You know, exactly. You know, when our Christy, we didn't do it because, well, again, our parents never talked to us. So we sort of missed major parts of her body. I mean, you got 11-year-olds who are, you know, now moving into the middle school time who call their private part their wing-a-ding-ding because their parents never told them the right word.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, no, introduce the proper words to them, like, you know, penis, vagina. I mean, what's wrong with those words? When they see that the parents do it, they may even giggle, you know, but when they see that you have those kind of conversations, what you're doing is you're waiting for the next developmental stage, which is more like 6 to 9. So that's kind of pre-middle school. And that's when you start answering their questions. But again, you answer them like a 6 to 9-year-old would. But yeah, you normalize it by having those kind of conversations.
So just to recap what you just said, because I've talked to parents about sex. Okay. And when I've said exactly what you just said, we've talked about this, but I've said the exact same thing. And they look at me with these huge eyes.
Sure.
Like, wait, you want me to say penis, vagina, breasts to my kid? Like, when they have questions about sex, you want me to talk about sex and oral sex? You want me to say these words?
Yes.
And I told them, I don't know what you think about it. I told them, listen, this is what you got to do. You go into the bathroom, close the door if you have to. And you just got to look at yourself in the face saying these words.
Yeah.
And say it enough times until you're ready to go and you walk out the door. And you do it.
Do you know that there's some curriculums that tell parents to do exactly what you just said?
Are you serious?
Yes. And
they start writing stuff.
You should. See, I mean, but there's some people who are saying if you're going to try to make it healthy for your kids, but if you're awkward and, you know, in fact, my daughter, Christy, I mean, it was funny. She says, now that she's an adult, but she goes, you know, my dad, he really thinks he did a great job, but every time he talked about sex, his ears turned red and his bald head started sweating. And it's probably the truth. So, you know, it probably would have been better for me to look in the mirror and, you know, say some of those things. But the truth is it's going to be, it's possibly going to be awkward. Who cares? It's just when you have the conversation, your kids will do better. So the question becomes, who do you want telling your kids about sex? Take middle schoolers.
Yeah.
You know, they're still liking Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber. Fantastic. you know, they're a little bit older now, but the truth is both those people taught a lot of junior hires about sex.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm not putting them down. I'm just simply saying, I'm not sure I want their view of morals rather than my view of morals. So I want to bring to kids, at whatever stage, I want to bring them healthy morals and values that actually have a biblical reference in the Bible. You know, even as adults, some of us have a really bad, poor perception of sex because somebody told us it was dirty, rotten, horrible. So save that dirty, rotten, horrible, ugly thing until you're married, and then you're supposed to turn on a dime and it's supposed to be great. We have adults who have, you know, the reason adults aren't doing it is because they have weird tapes in their own head.
Yeah.
You know, I think about my story. I think of, you know, mistakes I've made. Mm-hmm. I hope that those don't become roadblocks in me having healthy conversations with my kids. But I think but it could. If I don't do the right, I mean, if I don't manage it the right way, it could. There's probably parents out there who are thinking, man, I made mistakes. I don't know if I even have the right stuff to teach my kid. We better just hope the church does a great job because I've made mistakes, and so maybe I'm not qualified to do it.
Right.
What do you say to a parent of that who's listening, and this is going to be the encouragement moment for them to?
So here's the story. That's, you know, Homeward is the largest provider of parenting seminars in the United States, and we talk about sex in about three of our seminars of the seven, and one is on teaching healthy sexuality, and number one question that's asked is, what if I didn't do it right? Or what if my husband and I lived together? Or what if whatever? And what I always say is, you know, what I would say to my child is, the reason I'm passionate about it is because I didn't always make great decisions. Don't tell them every war story. But the reason I'm passionate for you is because, you know, it's I want the best for you. And guess who else wants the best for you? God wants the best for you. So there are boundaries, not because God's the great killjoy or because parents are going to like hassle him. It's because, you know, he honestly wants the best for you. So in terms of dealing with that, as parents, I think you just swallow hard. And I wouldn't tell them everything, but I also wouldn't lie. Because if they one day find out that you were promiscuous or, you know, they got more mature and they said, well, then they're going to think you're lying about a lot of other things. So again, if they want details, by the time they're in high school, they're going to go, well, details, you know, don't give them details. So then it's none of your business, but, you know, I'm really glad we're having this conversation now.
Good.
That's awesome. Or do you think there's any other pointers that you could give parents regarding vulnerability on that topic about what to say or things like that?
Yeah. Well, again, I call it personally tailored discipleship. And, you know, when we think of discipleship, we think about memorizing scripture or something, but it may be more important to actually help disciple your kids as a parent in the area of sexuality, relationships, mm-hmm. things like that.
Yeah.
So where one kid at a certain age is going to be totally ready for something, another kid isn't. What I do see, though, is that parents hold off on this one subject, sex. So they don't want to, you know, they're afraid that if they talk to their kids about it, they're going to go, you know, out to after the church youth group or, you know, what, Sunday school or something, and go practice it in the driveway. And that's not the case.
Yeah.
So, but again, I think we want to look at what should kids be learning age development wise. And then, you know, find ways to do it. Well, you know what Kathy and I did? We live here in Dana Point. We went to the beach about every 6 months, and we would write down, not just about sex, but we would write down school, faith, relationships, I mean, a bunch of things, and then, you know, sex education. So then what we would do is go, okay, here's three things we want to be able to talk about in this next 6 month period. Did we always do it great? No. But you know what? It was always amazing. We always felt it was kind of almost a God thing, because we'd be watching a TV show and all of a sudden somebody would bring up something. I literally remember the time somebody brought up oral sex. My kids were way too young to be like watching shows that would be talking about that. But this was like random. It was, you know, like a news thing or something. But we had talked for our oldest. We wanted to have this conversation because that's what was happening on middle school campuses like crazy. So we stopped the TV, put it on pause. And I said, hey, Christy, I want to talk to you for just a minute. Well, it's funny because we actually had a really awesome conversation about that. Wow. I said, do you know what they were just saying? And she kind of like laughed or whatever. But then we had a really neat conversation about it that, you know, again, they were sometimes awkward. This one wasn't. But it was because Kathy and I had written that down. And we'd written it down like 4 months earlier. When we heard it, Kathy looks at me. I look at her and I go, oh, man, okay, here we go. And weird enough, it was Dad having that conversation instead of Mom. Sometimes it would be, you know, better to have Mom do it. But it worked. So that's what you do.
Awesome.
You know, the if I would boil it down to the one big statement, it sounds like the lean in what we led with, Kristen, mm-hmm. sounds like we were off. That it's not about when you start the conversation. It's the dialogue. It's the dialogue through the whole thing. So, and it's looking for opportunities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's making the most of the opportunities that are right in front of you. So for the junior, they're in junior high, eighth grade, whatever. their freshman, sophomore, junior, and the parents like, man, I've never done it. Mm-hmm. I guess I've missed my time. I guess I've missed it, and I should just stop trying. You would say that's the wrong premise. It's not about when you start.
Never too early, never too late. And so you just do it. At whatever age you happen to be right now, you start having those conversations. I don't think the parents should, once they sit, let's say they're driving and they're listening to this podcast, I don't think they sit there, especially a middle schooler or high schooler, and say, I was just listening to podcasts, sit down, I want to give you everything, you know, on my head. But, you know, that'd freak the kids out.
Right.
But, and some parents do it, believe me. But no, you're right. And today, there are really good resources to help parents. They don't have to feel alone. They don't have to make it up. I mean, honestly, when I first got into youth ministry, back in the days of my South Coast days, when I was the youth pastor at the place you're at, we struggled with finding resources to have conversations about this and or to hand to parents. Today, there is a plethora of good stuff.
If you were to give me like one, or we're going to do 4 weeks of this, okay? So I'll be filling this in, you know, as we go. If you were to give me like one or two for this that we can put in the show notes that a parent can go to and click on and find a book, a website, what would you recommend?
Yeah, well, again, it depends on the age of the kid. But if we led with middle school, and I realize you guys are middle school pastors, but at the same time, we're talking about other things. But, you know, I love Passport to Purity. It's a pretty long, extended thing. Probably the most used book right now in the world is The Purity Code, which is a book that I wrote for that age kid. Maybe parents need something like Teaching Healthy Sexuality, you know, to teach them how to have those kind of conversations. But for me, I really like things like Passport to Purity, because it's a deal that, you know, I've just said, you know, have, you know, spontaneous conversations. Now I'm saying, you know, walk through something with them, but you can do both. And sometimes I always say to parents, listen to it first. It's going to take some work for you, but listen to it first. And then you could use it or not use it. Maybe it's maybe now you're using your own words, but you know, you said just two or three. I didn't mean to just, you know, plug part of my stuff too, but, anyway, that's what I would do.
That's great. Jim, awesome. Thank you for this. We got 3 more weeks to go. This is awesome. Kay, are you learning stuff?
I'm learning a lot. I'm sitting here silently because I'm learning so much. It's crazy.
I'm looking, this is all useful to me. Young dad, like I'm going to like eat this up. This is just great. Hey, thank you guys for listening. TardyCast, we love you guys. Don't be late to leadership.
See you next week.
See you next week. Keep it real.